in Acts chapter 28, but let's just have a reflection on Acts chapter 27, even as Brendan shared last Sunday. We met with Paul and his companions, 276 of them in a ship on their way to Rome. Remember, Paul has got to appear before Caesar. That's the mission and that's the assignment. He is not called to die in the sea or anywhere else, but he must appear before Caesar. But while they are on a journey to Rome, there is a storm in the sea, a terrible storm in the sea. And the storm doesn't even last for a single day, but it takes some days. Remember, they have been in the sea for over 14 days now when the storm strikes, and a lot of things are happening. And you see, obviously, the natural response of men to a storm. The guys in the ship begin to panic. They begin to think of doing a lot of strange things, maybe wanting to throw away the cargo and everything else. That's how people respond to a storm, isn't it? Is that how you also respond to whatever storm? You throw tantrums, you just run all over the place, and you spend a lot of money, and in the process, you lose a lot of things. But in the midst of this crowd in the ship, there is one man who is very steady. There is one man who is very calm. There is one man full of faith. There is one man who understands his purpose and mission. And he knows that he is not dying in the sea because he must get to Rome. And praise God, while they are in the midst of that, 276 of them, the angel of the Lord appears only to one man who is not panicking, but who is giving God faith, and that is Paul. And the angel assures him of the mission that none, you will not lose anything, and I've given all these men into your hands, Paul. They aren't going to die. And you can, you know, last week, Brendan did show us how to handle ourselves in a storm. And if the Bible says that they then shipwrecked and they found themselves near an island and the ship could not move because it's now grounded, men had to swim from where the ship was to the island. And the soldiers are thinking, come on, man, if these prisoners are allowed to swim, they might swim away and disappear in the sea and run away. That is poor thinking, ladies and gentlemen. And in their hearts, they want to kill the prisoners. And remember, Paul is also a prisoner. Maybe in their hearts, they want to kill Paul. But Paul assures them that nothing will happen. And they begin to say, okay, those who are able to swim into the sea, to the island, of course they swim. Those who were able, those who were unable to swim like me and others I know here were then given some planks to just maneuver through the water. I think, ladies and gentlemen, it was a traumatic experience. A traumatic experience. The storm is not an easy thing to go through. Heavy rains, heavy winds, and everything else. I think you have watched storms on television whenever they hit places like Haiti and other places that are very prone to these storms. It is not an easy thing, yeah? But now you are in the sea, and you don't even know how deep the sea is. You don't even know who will welcome you the first time you jump into the sea. There are guys who are living in the sea. Some of them are merciless. You are not sure whether you will meet the whale that Jonah met that can just swallow you and take you to the other side, or it will just swallow you permanently like that. So it's all kind of things. I need you to picture these guys in the sea. They are going through a lot. And they are really, really so uncomfortable. The prisoners themselves are not sure if they will not be shot in water by some crazy soldiers and the like. But they just have to keep trusting. Maybe they are now trusting Paul. Maybe they are now believing what Paul said to them. And this is the word that is carrying them through the sea. to the island. And when they get to that island, this is where we meet them this morning. It is still raining. It is very cold. They are wet, I mean dripping with water. They're just from the sea. And maybe they don't even have clothes to change. They are prisoners, man. They are just wearing the prison clothes. And maybe there is a short supply and no one will have to give them new things and the like. So that's the mindset, that's the picture, that's what they are going through, these guys. So when we get to Acts chapter 28, we're going to read very few verses this morning, but we will dwell on verse number 2. That's my interest. The Bible says, now when they heard, are you going to put it there or I read from my Bible? It says, after we were brought safely through, we then learned that the island was called Malta. Uh-huh. The native people showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and welcomed us because it had begun to rain and was cold. Wow. Compare the scenarios here. Compare where these guys are coming from. The trauma they are in the sea, in the storm and everything else, and bam, they get into an island. They are foreigners in the island because they are native people in the island, and we are not even sure how they will welcome you, whether they will cut off your heads or they will throw you back into the sea or send you back into your ship. You are not sure, but the Bible says when these guys came to that island, the natives showed them unusual kindness. What a contrast. What a beautiful way. What a beautiful way of welcoming somebody who is depressed, who is distressed, who is uncertain, who is hopeless, who is not sure of what is going to happen, who is not even trusting you, but you open your arms and welcome them with not just kindness, unusual kindness, uncommon kindness, a kind of kindness that they have not seen, these people, where they are coming from. A kind of kindness that the writer of this book, Luke, has never experienced himself and is given to them by strangers. I love that. It's given to them by strangers at a time when they needed it the most. Hallelujah. You know, there are many things that happen to us, ladies and gentlemen, in this life that we live in this world. And there is so much need that we carry ourselves in a manner that assures people. How many of us really see and believe and understand that people everywhere, all over the world, including people here in this house this morning, are going through a lot of hard times. They are going through a lot of issues. They are going through a lot of uncertainties. They are depressed. They are worried. To say bothered is not describing the situation much. Bother is just a light word. They are dead worried. Some of us here are so worried about what happens this afternoon. What happens tomorrow? What happens next term? Some are worried about school fees. I don't want to mention names. Some are worried about so many things. Guys, we move carrying a lot of both luggage and baggage. Yeah? People are traumatized everywhere. And yet, in the midst of all that, there is something of God that you and me are supposed to give. Hello? There is something of God that you and me are supposed to give. I want you to picture the soldiers, the centurion, the commanders, their hard-heartedness in the ship. how it could have melted, if it did, when these strangers showed them kindness instead of hostility. Huh? I mean, these are hostile men who are trained to kill, very brutal, and they have this in their hearts, nothing else but to kill. But when they walk into this island of strangers, they don't meet hostilities. They meet God. They meet kindness. Unusual love, unusual compassion. And I believe that even the hardest of those soldiers melted, had some conviction in them. But what manner of a people are these who receive us in this manner? We are not worth this kind of kindness. Because where we come from, we are just brutal. But that is what they met. And that is what came through their way in this little island. I have learned in life that in our Christian walk, we learn God and see God in those places where we think there is nothing. We learn God and see God from the least of the least. The people that we think have nothing, the people that we think don't matter, they have this tendency in them to teach us God. Hello? Do you want to see God? Go and walk among the poor and pay attention to what they are saying. You will see God. You will feel God. You will experience God. Even when they don't know He is with them, but when you walk there, you will see that they are with God. And these guys here assured God in a small island. And what kind of kindness do they do? Just making a fire. Can we imagine? Just making a fire. Because you are cold and you begin to warm yourself. Wow, praise God. Thank God. Maybe they even gave them coffee. I don't know. Yeah? Maybe they even gave them some dry clothes to just dry themselves up, their hair, and like, and they say to them, it is okay. Even if they spoke in a language that probably they didn't understand. You see, kindness is a better language, is understood by everyone. Are you with me this morning? Maybe let's just unpack this kindness thing. I am talking to us this morning about the life of kindness. Living the life of kindness. That's going to be my focus this morning here. But let's just look at this thing called kindness. It's a cluster of many things. But the biggest one, the foundation one, is philanthropy. I mean you know this word. There are so many people in our midst, in Zimbabwe, in Africa, who call themselves what? Philanthropist, isn't it? They are just merely saying they are kind people. Yeah? They are giving kindness to everyone. That's where this whole concept comes from. What is this philanthropy? It is the love for mankind. Love for mankind. Ladies and gentlemen, mankind goes beyond your tribe. It goes beyond your race. It goes beyond your language boundaries. It goes beyond your class, your normal circles. You are loving mankind. Every human being you love. Don't you think that is what God is? That is who God is? Loving all mankind. That is kindness. And it also talks about hospitality. Somebody who is hospitable. What kind of a person? He's a welcoming person, isn't it? When I'm going through these characteristics of kindness, please look into yourself. How hospitable are you? Are you welcoming? Can people walk into your heart? Just like that. Boom! Here is a stranger. Oh, come on! And you embrace them. How impressive are we? That's what I'm talking about. Yeah? It talks about readiness to help. How ready are you to help? If you were called now for an emergency, can we put down and rush there? Or we will say, wait, I need to pass through. It means I will get to you 2 days from now. I have heard your situation. I've heard your condition. I'm coming, but I am busy. How ready are you to help? How available are you? I work in the humanitarian sector. In our organization, we have one of our values, which says we are responsive. We're responsive to people. Our law in the humanitarian sector is that within 24 hours, should there be any emergency, in 24 hours, we should be in that vicinity. 24 hours. And we stay ready with the pre-positioned resources all over the countries that have emergencies. It's the rain season now in Zimbabwe. We are expecting a lot of floods in a number of districts. Guess what? We have pre-positioned. What could be needed should there be any storm or any flood or any need to get there? Not only material resources, we have staff that are already being oriented now on how to get there and do what needs to be done. Readiness to help. I think that's the attitude of Christ. God is ready to help. The moment you call on him, he hears and answers. He doesn't say, wait, I was attending Adelaide, I will come to you. He attends all of us at the same time. Hello. And the question for us as believers in this day and age, how ready are we? How ready are we to help? This talks of human friendship. Do you really create friendship with people? Here, you might not be John and Peter, who is the third one, in Jesus' inner circle, but you are his friends. Hello? You might not be the inner circle of Kilton, but I ought to have friendship with all of you. Because I have to love you and attend to your needs. Human friendship. How much do you invest as a believer in building human friendships? Brendan spoke about friendships last Sunday. What do you give to develop? Are you that kind of a person who is so easy to walk away from any relationship? That one, I'll go viral. You go away. That one's a crazy person. Leave them alone. Or you're that kind of a person who will chase after. I'm not sure. We all have a weakness when it comes to creating human friendships. But that is what God expects us to, if we are going to live a life of kindness. What else does this mean? It's talk of benevolence, that generosity, that free spirit to give. You don't even feel the pain. You don't even count it. You just go in and give, whether you're going into your wardrobe, you just take even the best clothes that you bought last week and you wore it only once. If you have a benevolent spirit, you can give it away. Hello. You are not going to say, okay, I must give away the clothes that I bought in 2020, if they are still there. But you give away anything, anytime, if you have a benevolent spirit. By the way, benevolence is not only giving material things, but also your time, also your love, also your emotions. Just calling a person, just finding out how they are doing. You have heard that I'm going through some things. Have you called? Have you found out? That is what kindness is all about, ladies and gentlemen. The last one here is taking thought of others. How much do you think of other people? Do you really have time when you are in your prayer closet to go there and think about that one, that one? How could they be? Have they resolved that issue? Do they really have enough for this and that? How are they? And when you have this thought, these days is easy with the social media. It's just send a WhatsApp message. Kindness. Ladies and gentlemen, the truth of the matter is we are called to show kindness and mercy one to another. Zechariah chapter 7, verse 9. Let's read that scripture. Zechariah chapter 7, verse 9. It says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, render true judgments." Let's leave that one for a while. "Show kindness and mercy to one another." The Lord is sending a prophet called Zechariah to the children of Israel who are a shadow of the body of Christ, and to announce to them, "Show kindness and mercy one to another." It's like a commandment. We commanded to show kindness, to show these things that I was talking about, one to another as a church, because it is crucial and important. So as believers, that's our calling, that's our assignment, that is what the Lord expects us to do. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. It also shows us something very beautiful and important there. It says, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience." Look at what it's saying. Put on. How many people put on their clothes this morning? The clothes didn't come running to you and say, "Please, I'm here." You had to make some choices and make some effort to take and put on. And the Bible says, put on compassionate hearts. Put on kindness. There is an effort, a deliberate, intentional effort that you need to do to walk in kindness, to live a life of kindness. It is granted, it is given, but it requires your effort to put it on in your life, to put it on in what you are doing, so you can live it, so you can show it, so you can manifest it. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, kindness will always walk along with those ones. It doesn't walk alone. Kindness walks with compassion, it walks with humility, it walks with meekness and patience. Yeah? Do it. Have the effort yourself. Put it on and leave it. The world around you is hurting. The world around you is grieved. By the world, I simply mean your own people. I simply mean people in your congregation, people in your workplaces, your relatives, and everyone else. People are hurting. And there is only one answer to the hurts of the world: the loving kindness of our God, the compassion of our God. And God expects you and me to manifest Him to the world. It doesn't matter how angry you are about them. Walk in love towards them. Show kindness. Hey, people will hate you. Listen. You would rather die and go to heaven if you don't want to be hurt here. Here, they will hurt you. Big time, you will be hurt. Remember, being hurt doesn't mean you are a sinner. It's part of the journey. You can't avoid it. As long as you are relating and walking among human beings, you shall be hurt. As long as the devil is still the god of this world, you shall be hurt. But God expects you to be kind, even to your haters. Because he has equipped you with his nature. He is kind to everyone. Yeah? He gives them the rain. They are. Do you know that the Antichrist is happy now with the rain season? Yeah? He's kind to them. The sun shines to them every day. He doesn't say, okay, let's switch it off. That group, that one shall have that. No. He's a God of kindness, a God of mercy. He's a God of compassion. He's a God of love. And he expects you and me, because we are his chosen people, to manifest him. Are you with me this morning? If you are with me, tell your neighbor and say, I am kind enough. This scripture is not finished. Can we complete it, my brother? I need to complete it. Keep smiling. That's part of kindness. Maybe I can read it from my own. It says, with meekness and patience, which is long suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. You cannot be kind until you forgive. Yeah? That's how it works. I just gave them my foot and luck, but I'm angry at them. It doesn't help you. It's ungodly. It's ungodly. Hello? If that giving will glorify God and manifest the kingdom of God, forgive. Forgive. And don't keep a diary. Hey, last time you came, I gave you this. This time you come again. No, go away. Try next door. No. Keep loving. And keep forgiving, because that is what it ought to be. The Bible tells us also in Galatians 5, verse 22. Remember the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That is also full of it. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. That's the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit who indwells you as a believer. He is producing these characteristics of God. That's the nature of God. That's who God is. God is love. God is joy. God is peace. God is patient. God is kindness. God is goodness. His goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. And the Holy Spirit produces this inside of you so that you just give it. But you need to take effort. Effort to understand that you already have it. What you have by the Spirit of God is not just for you. It's for you to give away. It's for you to pass on to the next person. Don't hold back the things of the Holy Spirit. They are given you, not for you. The gifts of the Holy Spirit in you are not for your profilement. They are not for your ego. They are for others. You are a conduit. You just pass on the gifts. They are given so you can minister Christ to the world. Minister Christ to other people. Not so that you can beat your chest and become puffed up and big and think you are the only one anointed, you are the only one gifted. No. Every believer is gifted. Every believer has this Holy Spirit in them who produces this fruit in them. So you can give away. And the more you give, the more you become like Jesus. The more you give, the more this dominates your life, dominates your thinking, dominates your character, dominates whatever you are doing. But if you keep it to yourself, you just remain like the Dead Sea. It's a sea that has dead water because it has no outlet. It can't release its water, and therefore it is dead. You don't want to be like that. Please talk to your neighbor and say, you don't want to be like that. You really, really don't want to be like that. Give away. Give away the mercies of the Lord. Give away his goodness. Give away his kindness. So you become more and more like Jesus. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 32. What does it say? Let's discover more on kindness. It says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgive you. You can't be kind without being tender-hearted. Like I have said, the moment you are kind, your heart is broken by my plight. Your heart empathizes with my condition. And you want to step in and help me and lift me up. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, in the kingdom of God, we are not competing so that we are better than the other. In the kingdom of God, we strive to be one. We strive to be equal. That's why we give one to another, we elevate one another, we promote one another, we lift one another up so that our God can be glorified in unity of purpose. Are you with me this morning? That's why we ought to be so kind one to another. Maybe simple things of kindness, ladies and gentlemen. Simple things like just serving somebody coffee. Yeah. There are some elderly men here. Don't push them off in the queue. Like elderly men and women here, let them sit here and just go and get a cup of coffee and there. And serve them. Just ask how many sugars. Yeah? And honor that. That's an act of kindness. Don't you think so? Remember the story of the Good Samaritan? You remember? The story of the Good Samaritan in the Bible. Religious leaders. I'm talking about religious leaders, not pastors. Religious leaders came through. Yeah? And saw the men beaten. Have nothing to do with this. I am busy. I am going to a church service. I must go there holy and minister God to the people of God, not to this. They passed by, yeah? And then a good, not just a Samaritan, but a good Samaritan came along, saw the man, felt for the man, good-hearted man, took him up, bandaged him, took him into an inn, paid for his medication and everything else, and said, if you need more, I am going to come and pay kindness. That's what kindness does. Did he know the man? No. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are going to walk like Jesus and be like Jesus and minister like Jesus, learn to love strangers. Learn to minister to strangers. The Bible says some of you entertain angels unknowingly when you minister to strangers. Hello. The widow of Zarephath could have flatly refused with her leaky flower when the man of God asked for a piece of cake. She would have just said, listen, you bald-headed old man, get behind me, Satan. I just have this one for me and my grandchildren just to eat once and die. And surely she probably would have eaten it once and died of hunger. But maybe her grandmother had once told her that, hey, if you entertain strangers, you never know you are entertaining angels. Of course, there are some strangers who are idiots, completely idiots, who can hurt you. But you need to discern, eh? You need to discern. You need to discern. You are trying to love them, they hate you. You need to discern, isn't it? Yeah, the woman discerned. And did like she was told. You know the story. Abundance followed. Well, that's not a doctrine that you do it every time with the man of God. Give your last flower. It won't happen. It happened there. But that is to show us how kindness works. Are you with me this morning? So we can really be kind. Ladies and gentlemen, kindness is the only language which the deaf can hear. Is the only language which the blind can hear. Is the only language which the hurting world can hear. Where there is kindness, even the hardest of criminals will come along. They enjoy being loved. Some of these people are criminals because they were not loved properly. They are doing what they are doing because they are looking for love. They are empty. Hear me well this morning. Any powerful human being is the one who knows and understands that they are loved. Because love builds you emotionally and in any other fashion. When I know I am loved, I don't care about the mistakes that I make. I am loved. Because love will not kill me. Love will not hurt me. Love will always embrace me, accept me, caution me, correct me, rebuke me, guide me, and show me the way. That's what love does. Are you with me this morning? And it is from this kind of love that kindness flows from one person to another. And when we speak through kindness, we speak a deeper language that even the spirit realm understands faster and better. Do you want to be kind or to live a life of kindness? Go and show it. Go and show it. Many years ago, I love telling stories. Many years ago, I always wanted to interact with the blind community in Bulawayo. For whatever, not to lay hands on them so they could see, no. But I wanted to act kindness. So the little church that I was pastoring somewhere then, I decided I wanted to go and have a service with the blind community. I went to their offices and invited all of them in Bulawayo. They are connected like this. And then they came right by Mtunzinwe Temba, that side opposite Mpilo. They were many. We cooked food. We had music. They were also singing and all that kind of stuff. They brought their children. We brought gifts and many other things. And I had an opportunity to interact with a number of them one-on-one to hear about their conditions. And one thing that they kept saying to me that kept my heart alive was, no one has ever done this for us. Whoever meets us, they want to open our eyes. Even when they don't understand why we are blind. Because there is a reason to a lot of this blindness. Does Jesus want them to see? Yes. Absolutely. But maybe before we can help them see, let's help them connect. Let's help them feel loved. Then on walking with them, we can say, but Jesus came. Are you with me? Kindness, ladies and gentlemen, is a walk. It's not just a one event like that. When you begin to tell yourself you want to live a life of kindness, it is going to be a journey. Are you with me this morning? It's going to be a journey. How am I doing in terms of time? Doing very well, very well. Clap hands for me. I'm doing well. Are you with me this morning? Please talk to your neighbor and say, be kind one to another. And maybe be kind to me. Be kind to me. Be kind to me. You see, we can learn to be kind. We can teach people to be kind. Proverbs 31, verse 26, does it appear there? Is it there? Okay, leave that one. Let's, before I switch off that one so they don't read it now. Proverbs 31, verse 26, the Bible says, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her lips. Eh? The teaching of kindness. You know Lemuel, the what woman in Proverbs 31. She teaches kindness. You can teach people how to be kind. It starts at home. Do you teach your little ones to be kind? One to another, to other kids at preschool, to other kids there, to other kids everywhere. That's how it begins. Giving. Ladies and gentlemen, let's not limit our kindness to Christmas only. Let's make it a daily thing. I know it's Christmas festive now. Eh? Unfortunately, in our city, we don't decorate and bring all those vibes. God deliver Bulawayo. But you go to all the cities of the world now. Wow, wow. You feel the vibes, isn't it? You feel it in you. Maybe let's go and decorate. I'm not sure. Let's decorate our homes. Well, that doesn't take you to heaven. But it's just a vibe there. Just a vibe there. Yeah, it helps us. But we can teach people to be kind. And the best way of teaching people to be kind is by leading it, by doing it. Yeah? And taking people to say, let's go, let's be kind. Are you with me? Like we are desiring in this church, that we have a group of people here in our midst who can desire to be on missions. Yes, we want to create a missions team here. A missions team. People who will go on missions. Ladies and gentlemen, missions is built on kindness. It's built on sacrifice, on love. It's built on faithfulness. So we desire that kind of a group here that can go on missions. When the South Africans come here, you join them up. When they are not here, you continue going, not every Sunday, not every month, but when there is opportunity, we go to communities and give love and minister Christ through love. Are you with me, ladies and gentlemen? So if you are here and you feel that you want to be in missions and learn kindness, I think Sister Slovo should have had a file where you are going to write your names. Did we? Or I have exposed you? Oh, yes. I'm told it is there by the table there. Are you with me, ladies and gentlemen? Let's teach kindness. So I have said kindness can be learned and must be taught. Teach people to be kind one to another, to bless one another, to carry one another's burdens, and be there for one another, and to help the needy in particular, and give to the hungry. It takes me to Proverbs 19 now, verse 17. That will be my last scripture. Don't be afraid. It says, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. I love this one. You have lent money to people and they have not repaid you. That's what human beings do. But when you lend to God, he repays. Shaken together and spilling off. Give God $100, he doesn't bring it $100. He can bring it threefold, tenfold, hundredfold. That is God's nature. How do you lend to God? Being kind to the poor. Being generous to the poor. Ladies and gentlemen, the poor are the richest soil for your seeding, for your sowing. I have heard and I've seen, I'm not scolding anyone, that you guys have been taught, not here, elsewhere, that you sit to the man of God, sit to the anointing. Let me tell you, the best man of God to sit to is the poor. The best anointing to sit to is the poor. Because when you give to the poor, God repairs. Our men of God have a tendency of taking and not repairing. But this one, he repays. Are there poor people amongst your people? Congratulations. There is your ground. Are there poor people here? Yes, that's your ground. Are there poor people in your workplace? Congratulations. That's your crowd. Are there poor people in Bulawayo? Oh, yes. So many. Congratulations. That's your crowd. You want to test God? Go and test him. He will surprise you. All God is expecting from you and me is to live a life of kindness. Kindness one to another. So we can be a people of God. Paul shows it in Acts 27. He is very kind to the people who are hostile to him in the ship. He's kind. Even when he talks to them, he's not shouting at them. Authority is not about shouting. Sometimes authority works deeper through kind words. And with a smile, then give an instruction. That's what Paul does. And the centurion pays attention. And everyone pays attention. He's so kind to suggest to them, guys, you are hungry, eat. He's so kind to say, listen, none of you is dying here. As long as I am in this ship, no one dies. Because God appeared to me and said A, B, C, D. He's very kind. He would have kept that word for himself. Let these ones die. After all, they want to kill me. I will be happy that the centurion dies here in the sea so I can run away. But that's not the mission. Are you with me this morning? God help you and me as the Church of Jesus Christ to live a life of kindness and to be kind one to another. Let's put it into practice. This morning, here, why don't you go and serve a visitor a cup of tea, a cup of coffee? I can see some two visitors there I won't mention. A cup of coffee. Maybe that can work the trick. Hallelujah. Why are you so quiet? I am done. Ladies and gentlemen, may God bless you, bless your hearts, inspire you and empower you. And may we be a people of kindness, a people led by the Spirit of the living God. You are victorious throughout the week. Nothing can stand on your way. You guys have got authority over everything that opposes the will of God in your life. So live in that authority and excel for Jesus Christ. God bless you. Amen.